Brother Buchanan brought his wife up to speak at the ladies' meeting over at Lakeland this weekend. And they were coming up early, and I said, well, I'm going to take advantage of that. And so I called him and asked him if he'd speak here tonight, and then he'll be speaking in chapel on Friday in our Bible college. And we're excited about having him. Thank God for faithful friends, for people who discover what the Bible teaches, believes it, and stands there down through the years. And that's the testimony of Brother Buchanan. I love him, thank God for him, and I'm honored to have him as our special guest tonight. Would you listen on purpose this evening?
Thank you, preacher. Well, it's certainly good to be here. I love Brother Smith, and I'll say more about that when I get down into the sermon. And I know Wednesday nights are special. You have folks like we have. We have folks that come straight from work, and I know some of you ladies had to get up early this morning and get your husband up. It's your chance, ladies, to say amen. But anyway, and you had to get kids off to school, and then maybe some of you had to rush home and get a bologna sandwich. I don't eat bologna anymore. I'm not going to eat it anymore. You're going to have to kill me and make me eat it. When I was a kid, I thought it was I thought our specialty was fried bologna sandwiches on Friday night. That was a specialty. And I'm not going to eat any more squirrel brains and potted meat. A lot of you know what that is, don't you? That's what I figured. Most of you not grown up yet. But anyway, right quickly, let me run through this for you right fast, and then we'll get going. I like to kind of just get people all stirred up on Wednesday night about something. Now, just listen to me close before you have any preconceived ideas. Today, everybody is screaming racism, right? Now, come on. Now, there's a man that walked into a store. He was a Cajun. And he said, where can I find the andouille? Now, you don't have that here. We have it down at our place. It's kind of a hard sausage. It's good in soup and especially gumbo and all that kind of stuff. It's got a wonderful flavor. And so the clerk looks at him and said, are you a Cajun? Well, right away, he got upset. He said, yes, sir, I am. And the Cajun said, let me ask you something. He said, if I'd asked for Italian sausage, would you ask me if I was Italian? And then he said, if I'd asked for German bratwurst, would you ask me if I was a German? Or he said, if I'd asked for kosher hot dog, would you ask me if I was Jewish? And the Cajun said, if I'd asked for a taco, would you ask if I was a Mexican? And the clerk said, well, no, I probably wouldn't. And the Cajun said, well, why did you ask me if I was a Cajun? Because I asked for andouille. And the clerk said, because you're in Home Depot. Preacher got up, ended his sermon. He announced that he'd preach on Noah and the ark the following Sunday. And he gave the scripture reference so people could read it. And a couple of boys noticed something interesting about the placement of the story in the Bible. And they noticed the preacher had left his preaching Bible in there in the pulpit, so they slipped up there and they glued two pages together. The next Sunday, the preacher got up, announced his text, and he said, Noah took unto him a wife. He began, and he turned the page to continue, 300 cubits long, 50 wide and 30 high. Then he paused, he scratched his head, he turned the page, read it silently, and turned again. Then he looked up at his congregation, he said, I've been reading this old Bible for 50 years, but there's some things it's kind of hard to believe. Amen. All right, if you'd stand, please, in honor of the Word of God, Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. You know, little kids, they kind of act dumb sometimes, but they're not real dumb. And a little boy was standing on the corner, and the preacher was new to town, and he went up to him, and he said, the preacher went up to the little boy, and he said, son, I'm new here. He said, can you tell me where the post office is? And the little boy said, yes, sir. He said, if you'll go right down, sir. He said, you're close. You go right down the next street, take a left, right down on the right is the post office. Preacher said, boy, I appreciate that, son. He said, if you'll come to our church Sunday, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. The little boy said, you don't even know how to get to the post office. Now, it does you good to smile, don't it? Let me tell you, folks, don't miss out on the stewardship conference. That's the greatest time in our church. We do it every January regardless. We talk about giving. We preach about giving. Listen to me now. There's 500 verses on prayer in the Bible. You can count them. 500 verses on faith. Over 2,000 on giving. Over 2,000. Just read your Bible. And I'll guarantee you have revival in your own heart. I bought a brand new lawnmower the other day for $1. Now, wait a minute. It's got a cruise control on it. A lawnmower. I'm afraid to turn the cruise control on. You know how much it's worth? You know how I got it? Because I gave the one I had away. I believe Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. And give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, you need to be here for that conference. I'm telling you, God will do something in your heart. I could tell you story after story. The wife and I could, and I don't have time to do that, but you need to be here, and you need to be here because your preacher asked you to come. Acts chapter 4, right quickly, please. I'm not going to speak on giving. I'm going to mention it a little bit. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as had possessions of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us. It's good to be saved. I'm glad I'm born again. Dear God, it's so good. I don't know how to describe it. We can sing about the love of God. We can preach about the love of God. We can try to put in poetry. And we cannot exhaust it. The Apostle Paul said it passeth understanding, but we can experience the love of God. Thank you for this good church, the pastor, his good family. Thank you for these wonderful people who are here tonight. And Lord, our country's sick. It's not dead yet. Thank you for America. Help us in our country. And Lord, help me, dear Lord, please, to bring a message to these good people. Not just a sermon, but a message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Thank you. May be seated. Turn to Acts chapter number 9 while you're seated, okay? Acts chapter number 9. And I want to read a couple of verses for you right quickly out of Acts chapter number 9. Look at Acts 9 now, right quickly. Look up in verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him, talking about Paul. And their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But, what's the next name, folks? Say it loud. Took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus and that he was with them coming and going in and out at Jerusalem. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter 11. Now look in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now, a fellow named Dr. Paul Rees said Barnabas had a stewardship rather than an overship view of his property. And we see that in chapter 4. But tonight I want to ask you this question. What kind of church member are you? And I'm going to show you what kind of church member Barnabas was. Now, we find him giving in Acts 4, right? Say amen. Could I get an amen? Then we find him as a friend to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, right? Now, think with me for just a minute. The Bible says in Acts 11, 19, down through verse number 21, that a lot of people started getting saved. Hang on. Then the Bible says, watch this. Then tidings of these things come to the ears, verse 22, which was in Jerusalem. Now stop right there and look up at me. The church at Jerusalem gets news of this. Now hang on. So they're going to send someone down here to Antioch. Well, they've sent you. Come on, folks. Would they have sent you? Notice what it says. And they sent forth, verse 22, who'd they send? Say it loud. That he should go as far as Antioch. Now let me ask you again. If Brother Smith heard there was a church down here somewhere and people were getting saved and folks were getting right with God and everything was going good, and they called up here to Trinity Baptist Church and said, we need somebody to come, man or a woman, to help us. What do you say? I know just the person. Come on now. Come on. This is an honest question. Let me show you the kind of church member Barnabas was, okay? Now notice something. Notice something important. The Bible says in verse 24, Acts 11, for he was a what kind of man? Say it. Good man. Now hang on just a minute. The Bible doesn't say that he was great. The Bible said he was good. Your Bible to my Bible in Acts 10:38, don't turn over there, said Jesus went about doing good. Now listen to me close. Being good is not going to get him to heaven, okay? We know that. But hear me. You can be great, but not good. And there's no doubt, there's a lot of football players that are great football players, but some of them wind up in jail, so they're not very good. There's a lot of basketball players that they're great basketball players. No doubt about that. They're great basketball players and they make a lot of money and they're talented, but that don't mean they're good. Why do they have to gamble? Why do they have to shoot dope up their nose? And so you can be good, but not great. Let me tell you something else. The Bible doesn't say he was talented. Most talented people ain't worth killing. They ain't worth killing, most of them. And they ain't worth shooting either. By the way, you need to get on that gun thing we did at our church. And my wife can put a group of five in a place about that big from a hip. So anything she wants, I get it. With a 38, just with her hip, boom. And most women are better shots than men. And anything she wants, she gets it. We don't even argue anymore. She just pulls out the 38. And I say, yes, ma'am. Anyway. Honestly, folks, now I know some talented people that have no character, preacher. Zero character. They can sing. They can preach, they can do everything, but they're not good. Come on, help me, folks. Now, let me tell you something else. There's a lot of prosperous people, and I'm not against prosperity. If you don't like money, I do. Give it to me, and I'll help give it away. And so the Bible says right here, he was a good man. Now, I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And I'm not talking about that part of being lost. But the Bible says this man right here in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, for he was a good man. And let me tell you something. That can sum up your life as a church member. Hey, watch this. Not just a talented church member, not just a prosperous church member, but a good church member. You see, a good church member will be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not less than something comes up. And I'm talking about something horrible or something bad. And a good church member will give themselves to God, and they'll give their money to God, and they'll give everything they got to God. Hey, give me a bunch. And by the way, you ought to be good. Used to, we had some good people in America. Amen. And so the Bible says he was a good man. Now that kind of sums it all up. But let me show you some characteristics that describe a good church member and what you and I are to have. Okay? Number one, watch this. The Bible says in verse number 22, then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go far as Antioch. Now hang on just a minute. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Let's look at what he saw. Now, he saw souls that had been saved. Is that right? And then, let me tell you something else. He saw lives that had been transformed. That's what verse 19 down through verse 22 says. He saw that people had been saved. He saw lives that had been transformed. And no doubt he saw Christians rejoicing in the Lord. And matter of fact, Barnabas saw the grace of God in action, because the Bible says in verse 22, when he had come and had seen the grace of God. He could see the grace of God. He could see what was going on. Man, he loved that. And let me tell you something, folks, a good church member will always see good things. They won't bellyache. They won't gripe. They won't have a fit. They'll just see the good things about the church. And they'll say, boy, wasn't that a good sermon? Brother Smith probably had to work long with that. Or did you see that new family? Or did you see this? Or did you see that? Hey, don't come to church to pick and choose and tear people apart. Looking for some good things in people. Amen. Number two, what he felt. Number one, what he saw. The Bible said when he saw the grace of God, watch this, was glad. He was glad. He was glad. There's no jealousy here. Yeah, boy, church members get jealous of each other. Well, did you know the preacher, he had time to speak to some person, but he didn't have time to see me? Why don't you go to the nursery and start all over and get your diaper changed and kind of grow up some? Now, folks, I've been pastoring over 40 years. I know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't know, those people might be having a horrible problem. They just needed a minute of the preacher's time. And let me tell you something. Boy, Barnabas saw this. He was glad. Hey, there was no jealousy here. And let me tell you something. When we see people getting saved and we see people getting right with God, let me tell you something. We ought to rejoice and we ought to be glad in it. We ought to say, thank God. And by the way, here's some bus captain. Man, he has double on his bus. Hey, you ought to be glad about that. Some Sunday school teacher got to split their class. You ought to be glad about that. Man, you ought to say, boy, isn't that wonderful? And if somebody like this young lady gets up and sings tonight, you ought to say, boy, isn't that wonderful? God's using her like that. Hey, let me tell you something. Let's be a real church member. Amen. You ever read Philippians 2? I don't read it very much because it hurts me. You know what it says? Let me show you right quickly. Look in Philippians chapter 2. You don't hear many people talking about this chapter in the Bible. And look in verse number 1. If they be therefore any consolation in Christ, you preachers, there's four ifs here. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be. Say the next word, folks. Say it. Everybody's got a Bible. If you can't read, you can hear it. Be ye what? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, the early church started with 120, and in 14 years they turned the world upside down. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Wow, what we do that? Well, man, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Huh? Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You're talking about Barnabas right there. Now, what kind of church member are you? Hey, do you know you're a member of the greatest organization in the world? Could I throw some real deep stuff on you? You know, no one died that the world could be created, but you know someone who was wonderful and spotless and pure and did everything that he could to help humanity. You know he shed his blood that this organization right here could be created, and you're part of the greatest thing in the world. It's better than the Mooses and the Gooses and the Ku Klux Klan or anything else you can think of. This is the greatest thing in the world. You're a member of something that God died for. Hey, why don't you get in here, man, and see something, and see something good, and why don't you feel something when you come here? Look at old Barnabas. Boy, look at him. And they said, we need somebody to go down there to Antioch and help those people. And they said, we'll send Barnabas. We'll just send you. So what he saw saved people. What he felt, he was glad. Now, I like this one. Look in Acts 11, back in Acts 11. Go back to it in just a minute. Look at verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, that's number one. And number two was glad. Look at number three. And exhorted them all. Now, we don't hear him called an apostle yet. He exhorted them all. Do you know speech is a good barometer of your character? Listen to me. You know what the word exhorted means? Admonished. It means advised. It means urged. It means comfort. Boy, Barnabas got with those new Christians and he said, man, I'm glad you got saved. Boy, this is one. He didn't say, wonder how long he'll last. Come on, folks. Listen, if Barnabas would have been a member of Trinity Baptist Church, he'd be jumping up and down about next Monday night. You say, I don't believe that. Well, go back and read Acts 4. Now, he went down and he exhorted those people. He listen to me. He got in there and he admonished them. He advised them. He had urged them. Now hang on just a minute. Look what he did. Acts 11:23. Watch this. That with purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord. That word cleave means laminate. It's the same word God used in Genesis where it said, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That's the same thing. Now, you know what he did? He said, with purpose of heart. He said to these people, these new church members, he said, you be determined. The word purpose means determined, resolved, set, focused. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Now, Barnabas did that. Barnabas did that. Man, I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he went to some of them individually. I don't know if he had a meeting of them. But I know one thing. He got up there. He said, I'm glad you folks are saved. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. I am so glad about that. I'm thrilled. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I want to tell you what to do here for God. I want to tell you to give. I want to tell you to stay in there. I want to tell you to love your preacher. And he said, I want you to have a purpose of heart. Don't just bounce in, bounce out. He said, be determined to stay with it, resolved to stay with it, set, get focused. You look around tonight, you see people used to be here, they're not here anymore. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. You know somebody's having a hard time? You go up to them and you exhort them in love and you encourage them in love and you say, hey, hang in there. God's real. God's going to help you. And you tell them you stay with it. I mean, you tell them you stay with it. And that's what your preacher did for me years ago. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't care whether you like it or not. Dr. Bob Smith's going to have tons of rewards in heaven. That's what I'm talking about, rewards. Boy, I mean, he stuck me green behind the ears, no church background, you know, really, and my preacher messed up and all that kind of stuff, and Brother Smith loved me and encouraged me and helped me and exhorted me. He said, buddy, you stay with it. I mean, he said, you stay with it. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. And he said, I mean, just stay steadfast. Let me tell you something. I'll never forget that long as I live. And I've told you before, probably, but some of you are new, and I started Bible college, and he said, you stay with it. He said, you stay with it. Don't you leave. Don't you quit. And I crammed 4 years into three. Supposed to get out in three. I stayed four. And he said, if you don't stay with it, I'm going to put my foot up your whoop, whoop, whoop. And he was nice about it. He didn't cuss. And he was sitting right on the aisle of when I graduated Calvary Baptist Church, when I got my degree, he was sitting right there on the aisle, and I came out, he was shaking his foot just like that. He'd exhorted me. He exhorted me. And I appreciate him. He's helped me, been a blessing to me. And I could go on down. I could tell you, preacher after preacher, missionary, every reward I get, your preacher's going to get part of it. Folks, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. You can help somebody. Amen. You can do that. When's the last time you've written somebody a note that I appreciate you? Thank God for you. And we got some new people, and one got one set of twins, and both of them was in Iraq, and they came home, and their dad and mom's been in the church a good while, and something happened, they had some problems. And so they come, the boy comes, and when he can, he has a job, takes him out of town some, and my son started helping us, and he got close to him, encouraged him some. And so he was, he took my son out to eat the other day, and the wife and I went out to eat, and we saw him sitting over there, and this guy that's pretty new to the church, not long joined, came by, and he said, preacher, I want to pay for your meal. And I said, okay. You say, that's not very humble. Well, he said he wanted to pay. Is God going to bless him for giving? And before I got saved, I smoked. If I had a full pack and somebody said, here, take your cigarette, I said, okay. Well, you'll think about that later, and you'll say, you know, that's kind of crazy. But anyway, hey, somebody offers me something, I ain't going to say no. You might say, well, you ought to be humble about it. I'm humble about it. Say, yep. I wanted a 44 Magnum for a long time. You know, a real man just likes to hold a gun. He just likes to hold it. Every now and then I just go and hold mine. Just hold it, you know. Don't give it to the wife. I just hold it, you know. Anyway. And I wanted a 44 Black Hawk Magnum. I wanted one so bad I could taste it. You ever had that? And we had a guy come down from Mississippi back several years ago, and he worked up at the nuclear plant. And when he came in, we turned the lights out. He just lit up the whole place. He worked. Never mind. And he kind of had a fro haircut, you know, and all that stuff. And he'd never been to church like ours. And pretty soon he got him a haircut, and et cetera, et cetera. And boy, he really liked it. And he loved it. And he'd come every Wednesday night. And then he'd go back home, and he'd come back to our church on Wednesday night. And he said, man, I wished I lived here. And then he made a mistake, brought his wife, and she didn't like it. But anyway, she didn't like me. She said, that man's too mean. He's too straight. He's too forward. Anyway, he kept coming on Wednesday night. And one Wednesday night, I was going over to teacher's meeting, and he had a pickup. And I just jumped in with pickup with him for a few minutes. He was sitting there waiting for church start. And right there in the middle of the seat was that Black Hawk 44 Magnum. I said, where'd you get that? He said, I got two of them. You want that one? I said, yeah. Well, I've been asking God for one, amen. But I know how to give too. Now listen to me. Listen to me, folks. Let me tell you something. If Barnabas was a member of Trinity Baptist Church, he'd be here for everything. I mean everything. And he'd go around and shake people's hands. He'd exhort people. That young man who'd not long been back in Iraq, bought mine and my wife's lunch. I went to the church office, got his address, and sat down and wrote him a handwritten letter. And said, thank you. And I have a little thing I put in every letter. Thanks is just a small word, no bigger than a minute, but it sure carries a lot of meaning with it. The next Sunday he called me, he said, preacher, I read that twice. Now, when's the last time, you know, somebody's having a tough time, you say, I love you and appreciate you and I'm praying for you, and hang in there. What kind of church member are you? Hang on now. He exhorted them to cleave. He said, you be consistent. You be loyal. You be steadfast. You be persistent. You know what? You know what gets me? This is probably one of the most discouraging things about the ministry. You really think your preacher wants you to do something that's going to hurt you? I mean, really, folks. Isn't it amazing? You'll go to the doctor and you'll say, all right, now, doc, I want you to tell me if I got the roptolooptus or the hippie-hippies. I can take it. I want to know. The doctor said, yeah, you got it. Take these pills. Man, you go out there and you say, somebody said, what's that cost you? Well, a couple of $100 to see the doctor. But he loves me so much. Come on, folks, don't get quiet on me now. And you get on the phone, especially you women, and say, you ought to go to my doctor. He tells the truth. And you come in here and your preacher tells you the truth. He does more for you than the doctor. Huh? Lord God, there's over 2,000 verses on giving. You read what Jesus said about giving. Matter of fact, prove to me God's not a giver, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, so Barnabas told these folks, he said, you cleave to the Lord, you with purpose of heart, you be consistent, you be steadfast, you be persistent. Now, hang on just a minute, hold on. Do you know this would have been a good time to start the sect of the Barnabites? It would have been a good time. Yeah, it would have been a good time for Barnabas to say, well, you know, church didn't pick Stephen, they picked me. Well, you know, the church didn't pick Philip, they picked me. Well, you know, the church picked me to come down here. Well, you know, I'm just, you know who I am, not Barnabas. If some screwball ain't got enough sense to pour water out of a bucket, comes up you and starts bragging on himself, what a great guy he is, just either shoot him or walk off. Probably better if you walked off. You know, Paul was pretty plain about this church split stuff, wasn't he? He said, some say I'm a Peter, and some say I'm all this. And he said, matter of fact, the house of Cleopas. Hey, you know, you have to get the average preacher to do that today, buddy. We'd be in trouble. But he said, look, is Christ divided? Let me tell you something. He said, well, am I crucified for you? Was Peter crucified for you? Now, let me tell you something. Barnabas went down there, and he didn't divide those people. He drew them together. That's what a good church member does. It'll bring, you know, somebody will come up to you and they'll say, well, you know, brothers, you say, yeah, but you know what? You know, he loves us. He wants, hey, and you know what? They'll either get away from you or they'll change. Amen. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. Now, you listen to me. Let me tell you something. You say this is Wednesday night. I know it's Wednesday night, but we need some church members that see some things, that feel some things, and say some things to other people that are good, and I'm talking about good. Now, let's see what he did. Okay? First of all, what he saw. Number two, what he felt. Number three, what he said. Number four, what did he do? Now, this is a good one. Are you in Acts 11? Say Minsky. That's the way Yankees say it. Okay? Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. Now, wait a minute. Why is he going after Paul? He's got the spotlight. Huh? You know what he did? He was going after somebody he thought that could help those people as much as he could. You know why your preacher's having J.C. House here? And listen, R.B. Ouellette, you're going to love R.B. Ouellette's preaching. I'm telling you, that guy's a preaching machine. Amen. You're going to, you know why your preacher's doing that? To help you. Amen. To help you. Man, we just had our mission conference this year. I did a little something different. I did all the preaching, took all the money. No, I'm just kidding. Wednesday night, I had one of our own boys is going to Jamaica. He spoke. And then I had Dennis Walker speak. He's up in Mississippi doing a wonderful job in a little old town, doing a great job. And then on Thursday night, a missionary, which was wonderful, was coming. But he called me, he said, "Preacher, I can get back to the field. I got to go." And so I showed a DVD of the Baptist Bible Translators right up here. And then had Gerald Hurd. Gerald Hurd's been on Lafayette. That's one of the hardest areas in the world. I mean, just works hard, got a good church going. And then on Friday night, I had a fellow who is going to Saudi Arabia to reach the Muslims. And then had Rusty Silvertooth. Rusty's out there at Fundamental Baptist Church. Got a bus ministry out there now. They never had a bus ministry. And he's got a junior church and all that stuff. Now, you know why I got those guys coming there? Not to fleece my folks. And you know what was good? Man, I mean, afterwards people said, "Boy, preacher, that was so good. You're so smart." Well, you know. They said, "That was so good. That was so different. You know why I got that?" So they could get a blessing. You know why your preacher does it? He to get a blessing. You know why he's got these guys? And nobody can do stewardship like J.C. House. You know, I got in my sermons, cry right here just to get attention. J.C. just gets up and talks. People listen. I got right here, you know, say something funny so people listen. I slap right. He just gets up, makes me mad. He just talks, people listen. J.C. House helped me one time more than any. I mean, it's amazing how he helped me about giving one time. Now, let's look what Barnabas did. Verse 25. Then Barnabas, I got to hurry. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus seek for Saul. Watch this now. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, hang on just a second. It's important what you see. It's important what you feel. It's important what you say. It's important what you do. But hang on a minute. Let me back up. But it's very important who you are. Look in verse 24. Look at it now. I want you to help me. For he was a what? Now, hang on just a minute. And full of what? And what? Wow. You know what? That's not just exclusive for him. That's for everybody. You know, the filling of the Holy Ghost is not for your preacher. That's for you. You know, wouldn't it be good if every mom in here was full of the Holy Ghost? Folks, don't be scared of that. Wouldn't it be good if every man in this room was full of the Holy Ghost? Hey, you talk about a church that'd be blowing up, man. Hang on now. Wait a minute. He was a good man for the Holy Ghost and of faith. Hang on now, and much people was added to the Lord after he got there. Wow. Boy, let me tell you something. You give me a bunch of church members that are good. They don't have to be talented. They don't have to be prosperous necessarily. You know, but they're just good people. Good people. And hang on, and full of the Holy Ghost. You know, you ought to get up every morning, and as soon as you get good and awake, and as soon as you look in the mirror and it scares you, then you get more awake. You'll say, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost." You don't know what's going to happen today. And you ought to do it several times during the day. And then you ought to be a great person of faith. Of faith. That's what the Bible says about him. Amen. Somebody said your talk talks and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Barnabas lived a consistent life. Went down there to help those people. Let me show you something right quick. Look in Acts 13. Look at Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Hang on, as who said, folks? Now wait just a minute. Skip down to verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord, Acts 13, 2, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me." Why did he ask for Barnabas? Amen. Come on, folks. Hang on now. And Saul. Hey, would you like to travel for a while with Saul? Now, I wouldn't want to get them rocks thrown at me and all that stuff. But boy, oh boy, Barnabas got to travel with Paul. Come on. You know why? Because this guy was genuine, real Christian. Go back to Acts 4 right quickly, and I'm through. Acts 4. And look down in verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, hang on now, which is being interpreted, the son of what? Wow, what a title. A Levite, a in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, bought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, do you know I am a pastor of Central Baptist Church, but I'm also a member there? You know, my wife's the pastor's wife, but she's a member there. Now, go home and think about this, folks. Look, boy, what a good church member Barnabas was. And there's probably folks in this room the same way, but there's probably more that could get in on it. Amen. Would you stand, please? Every head's bowed. Our Heavenly Father, I long for people to realize they're not just looking at a book with white pages and black words or red words. Here we have a man named Barnabas. We're told in Acts 4 where he came from. We don't know who brought him. We don't know if he just dropped in the church. But we find out so many things about this man, and we could go on and on and on, so many good characteristics. I have some Barnabases that are members of Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And no doubt there's some Barnabases here tonight. But why can't all of us strive to be a Barnabas? A good man. Good man. Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. An exhorter. A person who encouraged other people. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's just kind of been a little wishy-washy, a little just kind of, you know, drifting along. Holy Spirit, would you speak to them tonight and tell them they're a member of the greatest organization on this earth, and that is the local independent New Testament Baptist Church. And their preacher loves them, and he knows, and they know one day they're going to stand before you, Lord. And he wants you to tell them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God, help me to be like Barnabas. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Your preacher's coming. He loves you. He loves you. You know that. He prays for you. He comes to see you when you're